the bread. We remember at the last Passover that the Lord Jesus took the bread and gave thanks, as was customary. And then he broke the bread and passed it to those around the table, as was also customary. And the understanding of those around the table was very little. They didn't understand what we understand now. They didn't imagine that the Lord was going to die. And they didn't really understand what he meant when he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." When we hear that, we naturally think of the death that was coming, of the price that he was going to pay. But before that death, there's something else which is breathtaking and wonderful, which he alone understood. And that is that he, the Eternal One, the Eternal Son, had become man. That he had taken upon himself a human nature. That he had become one of us. And in becoming one of us, our salvation was secured, defined, and made possible. So this, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus, the Eternal Son, became man. That is awesome. That is extraordinary. That is the great mystery that nobody anticipated. For all the prophecies in the scripture, the Jewish rabbis would just scratch their head. They wouldn't understand. They couldn't imagine that it would be this, that the Holy One, the Eternal God, should walk amongst us in the frailty of human flesh. So when we take the bread, which he took and in breaking it was sharing it, when we take this bread and share it, we receive it from his hands because he came for us. And in sharing this bread, we are doing two things. We are testifying, yes, it was for me. Not it was for us. But when you take the bread and when you eat of this bread, you're declaring it was for me. I'm involved. It was for me. Eating is a very personal thing. No one can eat for you. You have to eat. When you take the bread, he said, eat, partake. And you're declaring that you have partaken of him who came for you and died for you. And we're also remembering, we're declaring and we're remembering that he came for me to be my life. He said, "This is the bread which came down from heaven that gives life to the world." What does that mean? One verse. It's in 1 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. "But of him," that is of God, "you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So this captures something of what it means for Christ to be our life. He came to be our life. What does that mean? First, he came to be our wisdom. Where is your wisdom? Where do you get your wisdom? The Lord Jesus came to be our wisdom. You put your trust in him. You become his disciple. You learn from him. You don't sit in judgment of him. You don't take the things that he said, that he taught, that he gave us, and say, well, I don't know about that. No, no, no. You don't do that. You sit at his feet and you learn. And when you hear him speak, you believe, even though you don't understand. Understanding comes after you believe. So the first thing is he becomes our wisdom. Wisdom from God. Somebody said, what is the meaning of life? Here is the answer. Wisdom from God. Jesus Christ. Our wisdom. And righteousness. When we come before the Lord, never ever imagine that in coming before the Lord, you're received because you're a nice person. You're not received because you're a nice person. You're received because he is your righteousness. Only this righteousness is acceptable for God, before God. And if you can't see Jesus as your righteousness, how dare you presume before God? You have no place before him except Christ be your righteousness. He came to be our righteousness in dying for us and being risen again. He became our righteousness, a gift that gives us access to the Father. And sanctification. Sanctification means to be made holy. When we hear about holiness, we don't feel very good about that usually. Holiness is something that often people feel is a very cold, distasteful thing. But to be made holy is to be separated from sin. To be separated from the world, to be separated from Satan, to be set apart to God, to be his. I don't know what experience you have of Satan, or what experience you have of this world, or what experience you have of the knowledge you have of your own sin, but if you have some experience of those, to be set apart from those is heaven itself. To be free. To be free from what you are. From what this world is. This is sanctification. And the sanctification that we have is this man, Jesus Christ. It is he who has come to be our sanctification. Because we are to be changed into his likeness. Holiness walked the earth in that man. And his will is that we should also walk the earth in that holiness, in that life. That's why he came. And he is our redemption. Because as he rose from the dead, so we also shall rise. His resurrection is our resurrection. In Ephesians chapter 1, it speaks of him being raised up and given a name which is above every name. And when our eyes are lifted up to him in the heavens, raised up and glorified, what do we see? It says, he is the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church is raised up. His people are raised up. They are with him. His resurrection is our resurrection. His life is to be our life. His righteousness is our righteousness. He walked the earth for us. He became man for us. When we take this bread, we're remembering that. We're remembering who he is, how he came, what he has accomplished, and that to which we are called, his life. It's a remembrance and it's a declaration. Let us give thanks. Lord, we bless you and thank you for the bread which we break, which we share together. What a privilege, what an honor. Lord, you have put this into our hands. It is as if we were there on that night and you said, take, eat. Partake of me. Remember me. When you do this, remember me. Lord, we remember you and we desire to declare boldly that you're our Lord, that you're our life, that you're our Saviour, that you're our destiny, that you're our joy, and that you're our treasure. We bless your precious name and thank you in your own holy name. Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. In the same way, also he, Jesus, took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Indeed, our Lord is a majestic Lord, and we should worship him, and we remember him until he comes. I would like to share with you, now it's more on the, as we praise the Lord, as we worship him and praise for his majesty, we also remember how much the Lord loves us and also sacrificed for us. The scripture we read saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant is established. The covenant is the Lord is our God, and we are his people. And this covenant is an everlasting covenant. A few days ago, a Christian talked to me. She's so discouraged. She feels there's so much failure in different aspects of her life. As we have fellowship, no matter how failure we are, because we are God, for those who believe in the Lord, child of God, he is God's people. And this covenant is an everlasting covenant. No matter how failure we are, how discouraged we are, we know that the Lord, he will succeed. He will make us to be a people. Pleasing him. He can make us into a people. We can worship him. So as we come before the Lord's table, we remind may we be reminded once again, no matter how weak we are, how failure we are, we can still come to Him. However, as the Lord established this new covenant, everlasting covenant, we all need to be cleansed. Our sin has to be forgiven. His blood needs to be shed. He needs to be crucified on the cross on behalf of us to take the punishment of our sin for us. His blood needs to be shed. Is His blood precious to you? His blood is very precious to Him. The physical pain, physical death are not the biggest sacrifice and suffering for our Lord Jesus. He said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus used the psalmist David in Psalm 22, the first verse, to express his pain, his suffering. The blood is very precious to our Jesus. The blood is not only precious to our Jesus. His blood is very precious to His Father. The Father wants to establish this everlasting covenant with us. So He chose to forsake His own precious Son. We don't understand how much sacrifice, how much pain it is to the Father's heart and to Jesus. We can't understand. Because the Son and the Father, they are always there, abiding one another, in close and intimate and joyful, in oneness. But at that time on the cross, the Father need to forsake His own precious Son. We don't understand. But we know that the precious blood, the cup, signifies, is very, very precious to Jesus Christ and the Father. But is that precious to you? If you have believed in the Lord, I believe the blood has been very precious to you. But how about today? Is the blood still precious to you? The reason why the Lord asks us to remember Him before His table. The Lord loves us. He knows that we always be forgetful. We always be even wander away from Him. Our heart can be grow cold. And we come here can be a routine. But the Lord wants to remind us His blood is precious. And He wants us to remember Him for our sake. Because He loves us. So I would like to encourage one another as we come here before His table. We take the bread and the cup. We ask the Lord to help us so that we can remember His precious blood, the precious covenant with us, so we can enjoy and come to Him by the blood in boldness with thanksgiving. So don't let all the routine, all other things stop us to express our thankfulness to the Lord. Even one sentence, two sentences, even in our hearts, even with our mouth. The Lord is worthy for our worship. For someone, if you find that there are some hindrance for you to come to the Lord before the table, you have some hindrance. You dare not take the cup or the bread. I encourage you. Ask the Lord to help you so that you can so that the hindrance can be taken away by the Lord. If you need, seek someone to help you. Don't let you continuously, you can't take the cup or the bread. If we haven't believed in the Lord, ask the Lord to help you so that we know the salvation and we can experience the bread and the cup, which the salvation which the bread and the cup shows. So let us open our hearts to the Lord again and we bless the cup. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much because of your sacrificial love and for your precious blood. Not only you are our bread of life, you also established this everlasting covenant with us. Lord, we thank you and we can't thank you enough. Lord, help us so that our hearts open to you without any distraction or hindrance, so that we can continue to worship you, to give thanks to you, and to enjoy how precious you are, our Savior and Lord. We ask you to bless the cup as we share together. Let us remember this cup is not for ourselves individually, but for us corporately, so that we can share this with brother and sister around us. And this cup also reminds us we are in one cup. We learn to worship together and love one another by the grace of you, by your precious blood. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.